agenda.
I thought she was going to say it.
Approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Got that. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Approval of the agenda. How about?
You got an extra agenda?
Oh.
Can we get one?
Let's hold on. You got one?
Here.
Okay. I apologize. I didn't realize we. That's a quick turnaround time there.
Well, we just appointed him to the county board last night.
That's what I figured, yeah.
I think we should, for those of you, maybe let's approve the minutes from last meeting, and then we'll let him tell us, tell us a little
and
bit.
And maybe introduce ourselves. Yeah. Too, yeah. So.
Okay, any approval of the minutes here?
I shall move.
Shirley?
I'll second.
Yeah. Second set. Jan? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No? Okay. Before we go any further, Mike, can you introduce
yourself? What would you like to hear?
Oh, your whole life story.
But remember, we're out of here.
Eliminated for 3 minutes.
Oh, that's right.
Well, I've lived in Lancaster since 1975. Worked for USDA, Natural Resources Conservation Service. 5 different locations in Wisconsin. This was the last one, and I stayed here. Our job was to put conservation practices on the land, technical support, the engineering, and so forth. I've been over every inch of this farm here, marked out all the contour strips for a majestic view. We did a lot of things. That's our job, is basically provide technical assistance, engineering, and so forth, cost sharing. We usually ran with a, when I retired, between $2 and $3 million budget for practices and contracts with landowners on the land. And then I also had, and I thought I recognized you, Steve, I had 34 years in the Wisconsin Army National Guard.
Oh, yeah. It was me both.
107th Maintenance Company.
Oh, yeah. That was one of my units. There, retention. Yeah.
First Sergeant there.
Yep.
So, made
I'm sure we had many conversations.
Made Curtain Gulf War. Had 34 years in there, the military. Great. After I and 37 years in with USDA. After I retired from there, I worked part-time for Southwest Badger Resource Conservation and Development back when Alliant Energy wanted to build that new power plant at Cassville. And so since it was slated to be a biomass coal-fired plant, why they wanted to do some research on different types of switchgrass, and then we eventually got into miscanthus grass, which is Miscanthus gigantus is the scientific name. It's a grass that gets between 9 and 13 feet tall. Hmm. And in Europe, they burn it when it goes dormant, and the stalks are big round as your finger. It looks a lot like bamboo. Have to wait for the leaves to fall off and so forth. But, and we had a grant from Alliant Energy, worked on 6 different farms in the county here. We had plots out there for 5 different years. Switchgrass is about 2 generations from the way the Indians and the buffalo on the prairie had it. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of research that's went into it, like, for instance, corn and soybeans. And so what we were looking for from our standpoint as a federal conservation agency to plant this stuff on marginal soils instead of good crop soils. And a lot of the big farmers around here said if we could get a marketable crop going, because they're losing money on the poor soils, thin soils, and so forth, because the fertilization, the rent rate, the seed, I mean, they lose on that. And so not only that, but it was a big issue for water quality. And I might add that a lot of the conservation practices that we put on the landscape are gone, you know, with the change in agriculture from animal-based dairy to more grain. So, anyway, the power plant never went through. The Public Service Commission turned it down after Alliant had spent $60 million on the design. And so it would have been a great boon, not only for something besides burning coal, you know, it would burn wood chips and switchgrass and so forth in a circulating fluidized bed burner, which burns a lot more complete. But it failed, and now with fracking, I don't see it coming back real well.
Definitely going to be closed down there.
It is. Yeah. The 40 megawatt power plant Detroit Edison runs south of town is still going. They burn wood chips. We had a contract to burn the miscanthus grass, but the problem is getting it off the ground. We had a north of Fenimore, we had a 4-acre plot of this stuff, and we had a real wet spring, and we couldn't get it off before the new growth comes.
No.
You would chop it using like a cloth chopper, something like that, you know, short pieces. So, end of story. Right now, I'm heavily involved in American Legion, VFW, the Disabled American Veterans, and the Lions Club. Other than that, try to find a little time to go up to my farm. End of story.
Well, welcome.
Those 3.5 minutes.
No, I'm kidding with you.
Let's go around. Steve, you want to start with you, and just probably your name and
what you do. Because we're all curious in that.
A friend dates me met yesterday, yep. The director of social services.
I'm Jan Lindfitt. I live outside of Fenimore.
Okay.
I'm retired.
I'm Crystal Riley. I'm the administrative assistant here. I take the minutes on board.
And I'm Lori Reed. I'm the ADOC director here.
I'm Mary Lewis, chairman, but I'm retired too. Kinda.
You're not really retired.
Shirley? I'm Shirley Pink, and I am a retired educator trying to plant flowers without falling.
I thought maybe you took up boxing.
And lost.
Yeah. No
just
way.
Saw the other guy.
Yeah.
You got to see what the other person looks like.
Yeah. Well, my husband always says, I told her to sit down, and she stood up.
And I'm Lester Jansen, and I'm one of the county board of supervisors.
Okay, well, welcome.
Okay.
If we can do anything to help you understand what's going on here, just let us know. Okay.
All right. Yeah, and I'd be happy to meet with you at a later date just to kind of explain all of our services here and what we do. So.
Okay.
All right.
It's been a learning experience for me too, because I have never sat on this committee.
Okay.
So now, you weren't on the county board before, correct? So you're just going. Take Larry's position.
Yep.
Yeah, the committees he was on and so on.
Most of the committees except the executive committee, the way I understand it.
Administrator.
So have they informed you that we have a regional committee then that meets in Darlington?
Well, I looked at the little cheat book and I saw it.
So we'll get you some information on that.
Okay.
Larry was on that.
Yeah, I saw
it. Okay, we'll go to the public comment communication. Building security update.
I did invite Fred down. Fred and I have had some conversations about building security in the past, and we had a consultant, and I never remember what the company's name is, so you can talk about
Integrated Security
Solutions. So anyway, I invited Fred down to kind of discuss it.
Yeah, it's the same people that put in the alarm system and the panic buttons that we have installed on the two floors. So I think we kind of just thought,
was kind of good timing with the active shooter training that was offered by the county as well, and we've had some incidences over the years of just asked them to come in and just give us some recommendations on how they could improve the security of the building. And kind of my sense is they really had three different types of recommendations. The most simple one was really that we already have the alarm system, and they really recommended that we add like a strobe light to it on each of the floors, because the issue right now is that we have these panic buttons, so if somebody feels, you know, a meeting with somebody, for example, in a room, and they need some assistance, you know, they can push the panic button, but it goes to the sheriff's department, and nobody else in the building knows something's going on. So this would be just kind of that step to alert everybody else in the building that something's going on, because we started kind of playing that scenario out, and it's like, you know, the sheriff would come walking in the building, and we wouldn't even know.
I wouldn't have a clue what was happening.
So it's pretty much a silent alarm, then.
It's a silent alarm. Yep, it's a silent alarm, so they're really saying, you know, if we could add these strobe lights in the hallways, you know, that would just be another step for alerting everybody that there's an issue going on. We talked about, I'm not sure what we do if that happens, but...
Hide?
Yeah.
Well, that's not the new thing, but
new
we'll
thing
talk about that.
Get out of the building.
Lock all the doors that can be locked.
Well, that's yeah,
that's
I mean,
the
that's,
other issue.
And that's kind of the next tier, so there's kind of just that basic recommendation of adding these strobe lights. The second is to really secure the building at a much higher level, which is basically lock down almost all the doors except the main entrance, and people would have to have a swipe card to be able to get in. And I was chastised earlier. I talked to my staff upstairs about this just before this and mentioned it's like, you know, if somebody asked us, you know, who has key to your building? We're like, we don't know. Who has keys? And Leanne, one of our supports, says, I know we have all the keys to this building. And it's like, you probably do, because she keeps track, and she's the one that they turn keys in when people leave. But I also said, you also don't know if somebody get a copy of the keys, or somebody lost the keys.
Yeah, because we know
the keys
aren't secure. You can go and easily make a copy of them. So.
Yeah, we actually have a plate on the ramp at the end of the second floor, because one of her staff, her husband, came to pick her up. She didn't come down to get him in time, so he found a hairpin laying in the grass and went over and within 10 seconds was able to
open the door
and get in. So we now have a plate over it, so you can't do that at least.
Well, I let Ken know that too, and he's like, really? And then he came back and he goes, yeah, you're right, I could open it in literally a few seconds.
Yeah, like a pocket knife, I think.
So then he put the plate over it.
So after, you know, I've only been here 22 years, so I figured out how to make it so you can't open the door easily. So that was one of their other thoughts would be that you'd have the swipe cards, you'd have to have an ID to be able to get into all the doors. And the other part of that is that you could lock down all the doors if something did happen. You know, somebody came in, they went outside the building quick, you could hit a button and lock everybody out. So that would be kind of a nice thing.
We do not have that
nice thing
now.
Fred, would that be something similar to what they have at Orchard Mine over there then?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably similar there. I know, and the third tier, and I know Ken even asked about this, was that the third part was just installing a lot of video cameras on the parking lots and then have some monitors. And actually staff would have the ability, you know, they could go to the website and pull up the camera, and they could look at the parking lot, you know, if they felt they were working late at night, for example, or something. And
we have a lot of people that, you know, especially in winter, are working till
my staff work late 2 days a week usually. I mean, that's, you know, when we hire social workers especially, you know, we tell them our hours are 8 to 4:30, but not really.
No.
You know, it's probably two nights. You know, we try to make it. I have some staff that are working late 3 nights a week right now, and my sense is that's too many. That's just too many nights. Yeah. So probably 2 nights a week.
So do you have a plan of action?
Well.
Well, we do in that part of our plan of action, and I think it was tied into the lean training that several of us have been going to, was I presented it to my staff this morning, because part of what the lean focus is getting feedback from the people most using these things, staff.
And most of the security concerns have come from Fred's staff, because they've had changes where people are getting big overpayments that they have to pay back, and now they're making kind of veiled threats to some of his workers.
Because the way the economic support is set up, they don't have to verify income at the front end, and now they're going through a process that we actually had to approve some overtime for them to process hundreds of overpayments. And some of the, in some cases, you know, they're telling people you have an overpayment of $10,000. Well, and people don't like that.
Well, and
so
then you hear so much now about
these threats,
going into buildings and guns.
Where you live
and
guns
all over the place.
And so.
Would
be too when they give it to me.
So really our kind of plan of action right now is really I want to get feedback from my staff. Mm-hmm. And I know after the presentation to my board, you know, Gary Branham especially stuck around. And, you know, we really kind of talked about, you know, are we getting what we need? Because at one level, it's really nice. You know, the video cameras were really cool. Like I said, Ken from next door was really interested in them and stuff. And it would zoom in on a car when it came into the parking lot. It would follow the person to the door. And, you know, you could pick up license plates and everything. But part of that is, I know when we did have an incident, we had the sheriff's department come over and make some recommendations. And I remember, you know, one of their comments where, you know, they really like video camera systems. They said it really helps solve crimes.
Yes.
But as far as the front end goes,
doesn't necessarily prevent them.
You know, how much does it prevent? But at the same time, that they also talked about perceived barriers. And I think at some level, probably having video cameras will impact some people, you know, to not do something if they know that they're being videotaped. But it's probably just more of a perceived barrier to keep somebody from doing something. You know, locking the doors, I mean, most of our doors are locked now. If we can get plates over them so you can't just pick it. My plan anyway is, you know, I want to get feedback from my staff to make sure that what we're doing, you know, addresses the issues as part of it. And I think it's probably also going to be tied into last night at the board meeting that they did talk about that there's a consultant that's been hired to kind of look at like a 10-year plan for all the buildings, and they're pulling all that material together. And I think I understood Bob Keeney to say last night by August there would at least be like a rough draft of that. So, you know, it's really balancing, you know, how long are we going to be here? You know, and for us to balance with, you know, the ADRC, you know, you guys are struggling to make it a warm and friendly environment.
Yeah. And then lock the doors.
We want
to
put iron gates.
Yeah.
On everything.
And it is. I mean, but that is really true. It isn't kind of direct conflict.
Well, what's going on out there, you need to make sure that your employees are as safe as possible.
You do. You know, I want to be able to come in here and feel safe. You know, and like I said, you know, right now, the economic support people, the art, and, you know, the flip side of it is my boss, you know, I have 25 social workers that go out into people's homes. You know, so I mean, the building's safe, but they go into homes.
You have four or five staff that do the same thing.
Occasionally, you know, law enforcement say, we don't even go out there alone. Mm-hmm. What are you doing going out there alone? So, and we have, you know, procedures to address those issues as well.
Anybody have any questions for Fred? Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Advocacy report.
Thanks, Brent. Regional board meeting. You guys were both there, so I'll let you.
We watched this movie. What's it called? Alive.
Alive Inside.
Alive Inside, and it was really about an Alzheimer's patient and what they go through and how they feel. And, of course, we had just, was it the month before or 2 months before that, we did the virtual tour,
right,
which blew all our minds, you know, when you've got noise going on and you're in the dark and all kinds of noise coming in and they ask you to do something, you don't even know what they said. So, you know, that's how your Alzheimer's people kind of feel. And
this movie was based on the Music and Memories programs that are being implemented in our local nursing homes. Orchard Manor has it. Bosqueville has it. Several of the nursing homes in the
area have it. But my mom, 6 years ago, was out at Orchard Manor for just a short time, and she was a college prep English teacher, high school English teacher, and I was able to get Julius Caesar and some of those on videotape. And when she would get a little rambunctious, we could put the earphones on her, and she would mouth the words to Julius Caesar because she had taught it so many times, and it just, you know, calmed her right down. So not only music, but anything that seems to be somewhat back in their repertoire they could relate to did seem to calm them down. And then, of course, the biggest issue, again, was the fact that we had sent a letter to Mark and White as a district or as a regional board regarding the ADRCs and the IRIS and so forth and so on. Want to add anything there?
No.
Well, I don't know. It just brings an awareness to the brain of these individuals that are in the nursing homes. I know a few years ago we kept for 6 months a girl from a college. She lived with us and she was studying this, and it was at the beginning stages.
Sure.
She didn't have much to share with us, but she lived in our home for 6 months and came out here to Orchard Manor every day.
Yeah, there is. They've had music therapy students out here, so it's really amazing the difference in dementia patients. What it does, you know.
The one thing
really
they said, they can't maybe talk. But there was a guy that they showed, the one guy who just basically was sleeping through the thing, and then they put on the old songs like, you know, I've Been Working on the Railroad and You Are My Sunshine, and he just came up like a dead flower, you know, and just blossomed and was singing all these words and brought him kind of back to where he wasn't just a thing in a chair anymore.
It must pull all the subconscious in.
It does. It brings an awareness of years back, and it's like they wake up and it's of interest to them.
The brain dies off, and what dies off first are the things that was last in your mind. You know, it's like a page on a book, I guess, you know. So the beginning, your life is like this, and the pages keep adding up. And then what happens when you have these dementia problems, those first pages go, and the underlying pages kind of are grained in your brain for longer periods of time, and so they're there. So it was very nice. Anything...
No, I think that was...
That was pretty
long. That was pretty much the meeting. That and the governor's budget was pretty much the meeting. So.
Yes.
And I'll give you a little update on the governor's budget. I mean, we did get good news on the governor's budget. Representative Nygren from the Joint Finance Committee did issue a press release. It was actually last week on Thursday that I got the press release stating that they were pulling the long-term care out of the governor's budget. That included IRIS, you know, family care, and ADRC. And that's fantastic. We're very happy about that.
Does the board still stay then? I didn't see any real mention to that.
Well, they've pulled basically all of it out and asked DHS to look at it and make some reforms, make some, you know, improvements to it. But they have to do it. Anything they do now has to be done with stakeholder input. From consumers, from, you know, actually ADRC staff, legislative input, and things like that, which is good. We needed, basically when they did this, there was no one had asked any input from anyone. It was a shock to DHS, it was a shock to us, it was a shock to consumers. So there is still some concern. Long-Term Care Survival Coalition, who has really kind of been the really lead advocate on this, has still some concerns. In some of the language that is in there. While it talks about pulling this all out, it's not clear what they may do to the IRIS program. And IRIS is, I never can get it right. Something, respect, self-direct. I never get it right.
They get a pot of money.
They get their own kind of budget to decide what they're going to use for their long-term care services. So they may choose to have... niece or somebody help them with home care. So we're not real clear as to how that's going to go. We're not real clear yet as to the language, how the MCOs will, the managed care organizations will look amongst the state, whether there's still talk of integrated health care providers, and we don't know what those are. It talks about preserving ADR services, but it doesn't necessarily talk about preserving local ADRCs. So we feel like we still have to make those connections. One of the things I think that became very evident when the ADRC, we had an ADRC Connect call, a director's call, about a week and a half ago. And the language was, you know, we need to make sure that we are advocating and not lobbying and things like that. And I always think that's a good sign when the state comes out with that, because you know we've made a lot of progress in getting the information out. And that was absolutely true. The directors really did form a coalition very, very quickly, worked with long-term care survival coalitions and other people who were already into the system. And made contacts to, I think, every legislator practically, you know, in their districts were all contacted. We met, Lester and I, and Bob met with legislators, and really got the word out. And really found out a lot that the legislators really didn't know what we did. They just kind of saw us as maybe a call center.
Who was the one in our four group that had their senator in or whatever have you? And he said he couldn't believe everything that the
That was Representative Novak over in Iowa County. Novak. Yeah, he's not out here, but he is. And he's also the mayor of Dodgeville. So.
Okay. We just...
So we really did do a good job that way. And I think the fact that they pulled it out of the governor's budget proved that. But now we need to make sure that we just don't stop educating. Mm-hmm. Letting them know what we do when we... And making consumers aware that, you know, they need to still be talking with their legislators and let them know what services they want and how they want those to look. So
where does senior care sit now?
I don't know yet. And actually, Marcia, just as I was coming down here, said Janet Zander, who is a our aging unit kind of consultant for advocacy, just put out that they are going to be meeting on senior care yet this week. She said literally she just got an email, and I haven't even had a chance to check my email yet this morning. So if you want to check with me afterwards, I'll pull up that email and let you know.
Well, the only thing I kind of heard was that senior care is kind of being taken out too, but it's going to be changed.
I suspect they were probably going to do a higher copay, mm-hmm. is what we thought would happen. Now, whether that is what happened, they were very quick to pull senior care out of it, but they
can't get
there
heard from the seniors.
Well, the guidelines,
yes.
Do.
Seniors vote.
To be able to have senior care, the guidelines have really changed since it started.
So I think, but if you want more information on that, I'll be happy to pull that up before you go home, because I just didn't even have a chance this morning to do that. But I think overall, it's an initial victory. We just have to make sure now that we stay connected to those, you know, legislators. It's always a good idea, and I mean, I dealt with Travis Tranel back in Head Start days when I was there and developed a relationship. It's just very good if they start to know who you are and know you on a first name basis, and you keep in their sights, so that if they do have questions when things want to change, they're very comfortable giving you a call and saying, you know, what's happening out here. So and I think Travis is good about that. I think he is keeping his finger on the pulse out here. And Howard, I think, has made a turnaround from what when we were there initially back in April. We were there for Human Services Day at the Capitol, and it was one of the biggest turnouts they've ever had, and largely because of long-term care in ADRCs. But I think he was still a little bit on the fence, but he came out then publicly and said that he wanted ADRCs pulled out of the budget. So he came around, so that was really good.
Yeah, I have sent more emails to Mark Littrell, I think, than I've ever sent in my life. But I just think they need to continue to keep hearing.
Well, and there was so much anxiety and fear by consumers that are in the long-term care system that, you know, are receiving family care and receiving IRIS. I mean, I attended some of the public hearings, and it was just heart-wrenching. These people were really fearful for what was going to become of them if these services, you know, were different or gone.
They just had
that's
one,
scary.
They just had one on television this morning about an older man. Was it in L.A.? I can't remember where it took place. But anyway, he came home from the hospital, and I can't believe a hospital would have not done some planning for him to go home. But he was home a couple days, and he needed somebody to buy him some groceries. So he said, he thought, well, where do I get help the soonest? He was like 89, and his wife's been gone for a few years. Must not be any family members. And so he dialed 911, and he got action. And whoever answered that 911 call personally went and got him food and brought it to the house. He said, I'm living high on the fog. On the hog. He said, I had 5 cans of Spam. But they filled his refrigerator. But
and
that
hopefully
was his...
they got him in touch with people that can deliver him.
But my comment again is where do we fall back on this transition thing that we have with the hospital?
Why was this hospital social worker checking with?
Somebody should have picked that up before he ever went.
I'll tell you what, so much better than MREs.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, anything else there in the governor's budget? Pretty well take care of it.
I think, you know, we just kind of need to keep our name out there. So.
He can do a line item veto of this, though, right? Is that what I understand? He could come still back in and change that?
The feeling out of joint finance was it didn't seem like he was terribly invested in it. That the feeling that I'd gotten from the legislators, and correct me if I'm wrong, Lester, was that whatever came out of joint finance, whatever those, because joint finance is still controlled by his party,
right.
Whatever came out of there was essentially going to be the budget they brought. So.
Once they pull it out of the budget, I don't think that's ever going to be in, so he couldn't line item it anyway.
Okay.
So that would be my interpretation.
Totally.
Once you pull it completely out of the budget, it's not there.
Yeah. So I don't think
first things are discussed. After they're discussed, then they have to be voted on. And once they're voted on, it's just like the Congress and them. You know, they throw all this other stuff in on a bill, say Bill 121. That all gets thrown in with that. And when they pass that bill, whatever's in there has to go. So that's how they get in there to begin with. They'll throw it in with something else.
Well, they'll throw a bunch of extra stuff in there that you don't really need or don't want.
They made a point, if he would have been terribly invested, he would have been out making the rounds, and he really wasn't. He was,
well, I think they could show that the change of it would save no money, technically.
There was no money attached. Yeah, there was no money savings attached to it at all. It was simply policy.
It wouldn't cost them anymore either.
No.
Okay, election of committee.
Now, hopefully, I put this on here because I think you elect every year, don't you? And you'll have to refresh me because I did not know. I did it last year, but then I'm like, I don't know if this is yearly or not. So I'm going to put it on here and leave it up to you guys to do. So I thought we probably should. So Mary Lou has been the chair for the last year, correct?
Yes.
And Jan has been the vice chair for the last year, and Shirley has been the secretary for the last year. So
we have to open up the, someone want to make a motion that we, let's go one at a time, okay? Let's start with the chair. Anybody want to step forward to be the chair?
Or nominate
someone to be chair?
You're in the chair.
Nominate me?
I will nominate Mary Lou.
Yeah.
I'll
second
that motion.
Steve seconded it. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. We'll go to the chair elect. We have Jan.
I think we have to.
Can we take it individually?
I think we have to.
Well, I'll make a motion that we unanimously cast a ballot for Mary Lou.
Okay, we have to do it that way. Okay.
Did you have to have a second on it?
Technically, I think you're supposed to ask for two more nominations. Right. Twice. Was there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? I know you're not going to do that. So. Who seconded the nomination?
Steve did.
Oh, Steve did. Okay.
You know, I should do this every 2 years to save you the hassle.
All right.
Okay, so you cast a unanimous ballot. I got to get this right because I won't have this right 2 weeks from now when I read these minutes.
All right, then we go to chair elect. Someone want to nominate Jan at the present time is our chair elect.
I so move that Jan be elected as the chair elect.
I'll second that.
Lester seconds.
Nomination. We have to nominate.
We have to nominate.
Okay,
so now I just.
I know you want
to. Can somebody call for again?
Well,
are there any other nominations?
Are there any other nominations?
Close
any
the
other
nominations.
Unanimous ballot.
I just want to know how many vacations you've got planned for this year.
good thinking there.
Too late.
Do we have a second on that?
Do we have a second on that one?
Yes.
Today. All right. So, all those in favor say aye, right?
Aye.
And Shirley Pink is our secretary.
Well, I haven't been the last.
Well, we have to. You have to have one, but we have Crystal do it. So.
Okay.
That isn't any different. I'm secretary at the regional, and I don't do Danica's does pretty much everything.
Well,
Mary
Lou, if you were on vacation and I was on vacation, then which secretary?
Probably, yes. Yeah.
Okay, nominations are open for secretary.
I nominate Shirley.
Jan nominates. Do I hear a second?
Yes.
Lester seconds. Are there any nominations from the floor, from the rest of us?
One more.
And do I have any nominations from the rest of us?
Okay.
I move to close the nomination for secretary and class unanimous ballot for sure.
All those in favor, right? Aye. Okay. We have our election.
Thank you. Thank you. I knew you'd take care of that fast.
We took care of that quickly. It's interesting because old Robert's Rule of Order says that you're supposed to call three times from anything on the floor. However, the new regulations say two.
Oh, good. Well, I did not know that. So yes. See, I haven't kept up with my Robert's Rules of Order.
I learned that at the auxiliary state meeting. So, yes, they've changed.
We should have a training on that every so often.
That would be a good idea. Okay. Shirley Pink on renewal.
Yes, now that you've made her, the secretary, you should probably renew her term. she is up for a term renewal in 2015, so we typically do a two-year term. And Jan, you will be up next month as well, just to let you know that. So.
You'll be up next month?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we have to vote again for her to be on it,
yes.
Or is that...
I would just say... cast a motion to renew her term for the next 2 years.
Okay, motion to put Shirley back in for another...
two-year term.
2 years? Mm-hmm. Isn't it three?
It's two for us, I believe.
Oh, two for... Okay, all right. Two.
I'll make that motion.
Steve makes a motion. Do I have a second to that?
I'll second
that. Lester seconds.
That starts 2:15?
Yeah, so to 2:17.
Just so I remember.
Any further discussion on that?
And surely you're willing to do that. I guess no one even asked you if that was okay.
I didn't hear her say anything. All those in favor say aye.
If they want me, I'm willing to give it to someone else if they...
She's willing to fight for it.
Yeah.
Okay, Shirley, you're on for another 2 years.
We were just happy to put you on.
So now you will go to 2017, and I know that's always an issue, right? And Jan, you say you're up next. When am I
next up? Month. You are... up in 16. I think the rest of you are all up in 16. So.
Oh, okay.
Except for maybe Dave.
You got to serve that year, so you ain't getting out of it.
Okay, the aging plan for 2015.
Okay, we did attend a conference, GWAR, which is the Greater Wisconsin Area on Aging, who oversees all of our aging money. We have to do an aging plan every 3 years. The last one was through 2015. I did not do it. I wasn't here. So it was done by Gail, the former director, and I'm just kind of finishing up on those goals. So we do have to set up goals for the next 3 years again. They do have some areas that they want those goals set up in, and that would be the caregiver program, which is our family caregiver program, people who are caring for relatives or people with dementia. Dementia care is also on the new topic this year. Nutrition, because it's one of the largest programs, is almost always a topic. And prevention is also going to be one of the main topics. They had prevented us, I don't know where that came from. They had given us some draft instructions for the aging plan and then basically rescinded them right after we got back home. So we are waiting on a new set. This is very, very late. According to directors that have been in these aging units for a long time, typically this is done like in November and it is already April. And we are still awaiting this. So this is all new to me.
This be the plan for, I mean, at this late date, is it 2015?
It'll be 2016.
It'll be 2016.
2019, yeah. The plan does go through 2015 right now. So we have to write some SMART goals in all of these areas. But one thing we do have to do is we need to get input from our target groups that we serve. So we will be looking at... the aging, this is all aging, so it's typically your over 60 groups. So I will be, once we get the plan instructions, hope they'll have a little more information, but I'll probably be going out to some meal sites and different places, talking about what their needs are and looking. They're always looking to see other unmet needs out there that we need to, do more in. So we'll be getting some of that information. We'll have to do a public hearing. I think we have to do a public hearing after a draft of the plan maybe is done, and don't quote me, as that might be not right. But we'll have to have a public hearing probably in July or August if they have this information out. I can't obviously do some of this until I actually get the instructions. So I think it's going to be a very quick turnaround time here. But I bet it's all doable. We run caregiver programs. We obviously have a nutrition program. We have a dementia care specialist on staff regionally. So I think our regional team will look at setting those goals because they all should be the same since it's a regional project there. And then some of the prevention as well. So it's doable, but it's just going to be...
Need some direction, then.
It's going to be quick, yeah. What they did, they were sort of unorganized, and I think everything has been put on hold because there was talk of integrating the aging units and the ADRCs. Like,
we are
integrated here. So, and that is one of the parts of the aging plan, too, is how you will collaborate and how much integrated you are with the aging unit. Well, we are here, so that's easy for me to write about. But there are several counties that integration isn't at all. You know, in La Crosse County, aging units on one side of town and the ADRCs on the other side of town.
Separate directors.
They're separate agencies. So it'll be interesting. And I think that's been some of the holdup. And GWAR's staff are kind of stuck in this because they really don't know where it's going to go either.
For Mike's benefit, maybe we need to learn too. Can you tell what GWAR is?
GWAR is the Greater Wisconsin Area on Aging. And they run our aging. The money that comes down from Title III, which is the federal money, is sort of run through GWAR, and then they take that money and give it out to the local counties. There are three area on aging units, and it's GWAR, and then it's Dane County, and it's Milwaukee County. So, of course, you can figure that. So GWAR has the rest of the state, but Dane and Milwaukee. So they have consultants in all these different areas, and they basically oversee all of our aging programs. So they come out and do assessments. ADRC is state money, which is, it all comes out of the Department of Health Services, but it's different funding streams. So the aging units and the aging programs have county levy money put into them. The ADRCs do not. The ADRCs are completely state funded, and we do time reporting and charge and get Medicare reimbursement for that. So it's a little bit different. But in our world here, they're kind of meshed together. So it really gets kind of confusing for people.
Sure.
On that, you said La Crosse is divided mm-hmm. now. Can you explain that a little bit, what you mean?
They're just two separate agencies. Their ADRC is a completely separate agency from their aging unit. And that happens in, you know, we're regional here, so our ADRC here is actually made up of Iowa County, Lafayette County, Grant, and Greene. In La Crosse, it's just, I believe, La Crosse County ADRC. There are several counties that just have a single-purpose ADRC. It's just that county. But in some areas, aging unit is under Health and Human Services, in the Social Services Department. In some, it's a separate standalone. Here, it's a separate standalone department. I'm not under Fred's department. It's a department all of its own. So it really varies in all the different counties and how it's set up the aging units operate.
What's Wisconsin Cares? How's that considered? How is that brought?
That's kind of completely different.
Different from these other
two?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's kind of a whole separate ballgame with the care system. That doesn't filter through us at all, so. Now, in like Brown County, the ADRC is a nonprofit agency. It's not even a part of county government. So it's a nonprofit. So it's all very, very different.
I know. I got really confused when I went to some of those meetings and listened to what was going on in the tribal areas.
Yeah, I do. I haven't even gotten into that. I don't know.
I was really confused.
Yeah, it's all very, very different. And so
tribal areas.
It operates. So there are different parameters in each of the counties on how, you know, how much county money they put into things and how things look and what services they offer. So
monies they get for being nonprofit, I imagine, come from a lot of different places.
Absolutely.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah. But typically, I would say in most places, ADRC services are mostly state monies with maybe some subsidies coming from some other, like, foundations and things for the prevention activities. But the county levy money is typically funneled into those aging programs, which has been the system that's been in place for probably, we're hitting Older Americans Act of 50 years this year, so probably for as long as the Older Americans Act has been in place. So,
okay, now do we have, we used to have a certain committee that we were assigned to. Are we still forming that, like the executive, the nutritional, and...
We will talk about that. In fact, I'm going to... We haven't had a much need for committees, but actually you're down here a little bit. I'm going to be asking for a transportation committee to meet.
That's how we're on the regional ADRC board, correct?
Yeah. Right. Okay. Right. Yeah, so we
so
will...
So there still are committees.
My theory is we kind of... as we need those committees, I'll kind of ask people to be involved in them. They haven't... I don't think there's a need for, like, a committee to meet necessarily every month. But there is a need for some committees to meet occasionally.
I know you made mention, I think, in the notes that perhaps the budget committee might have to meet more often.
And
until we get the budget set up coming up.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I think we'll look at setting up some of those committees as need be, and who wants to be in on that is fine.
I just wondered about that because the committees that were formed before, most of those people are gone.
Right. And I never did see any committee notes on that. I don't know whether those committees met a whole lot because I couldn't find any documentation on that. So,
but I think a lot of it was as a need came
up. I think so, too. And we have, like, we have a Nutrition Council Advisory meeting. We have different things that that meet as well. But I am going to be talking just in a little bit here about transportation.
Okay. Are we okay with the aging plan?
I think so, yeah. Just I'm giving you a heads up that that will be coming out, and I may be asking you for some input or talking to other people that you know about, you know, what they'd like to see for services out here as far as aging.
Okay, the vehicle repair.
We have, it's been a bad month for vehicle repairs.
Is that our roads?
Our roads aren't helping, but that's a whole different committee, so you'll have to talk to Lester about that. I don't know if Lester sits on the highway committee, but...
Are you on the highway? Nope. You're on the you've got to be special to get on that committee.
We have a silver van that doesn't get... It's actually a van that... we had, it's actually county-owned. It's a Grant County-owned van, which most of our vehicles are either owned through Southwest Opportunity Center or Hodan Center, but it is one that Grant County owns. And it's been kind of a backup van for our specialized transportation. When we do wheelchair transports, we mainly use what we call our white specialized van, which has a wheelchair, is wheelchair accessible. And we use that for most of our specialized. However, the silver van is also able to do that, and we've used that when we've had more than one transport in a day. We've had that as a backup. However, it was making some noise, and we took it in, and it needs a transmission to the tune of, you know, somewhere between $2,500 and $3,000. At the time, I'm like, oh dear. And I apologize, I wanted to get an exact amount on the mileage this morning, and I had some people walk in, so I wasn't able to do that. I think it's around 87,000. So I thought, well, I'm going to bring it to you guys and see. And what you may want to do is refer it back to the Transportation Committee, because I want to look at transportation as a whole. But it's significant, and, you know, it's not that many miles on it, and yet it's... I don't know how often we use it, whether it's something that we want to put more money into. We do have a transportation fund. We do have a little bit of a trust fund available that we could take it out of as well. So that money is available for some operating repairs.
What year is it, Maureen?
Oh, I apologize, Lester. I don't know that, but I'll find that out. I can look before we're done.
I
think it's like 2007, I believe. Don't quote me, but I think it's 2007.
It's a county van.
Yeah.
Do we have to pay for the whole thing, or is that split between us?
It's paid through our funds. Okay. I mean, the county puts money into transportation, so the county's paid for it, too. Yeah. It's basically...
It's an 07, huh?
I think it's an 07, I believe.
Getting up there in years.
Now, since this has happened, we had a bus making noise, Randy had come to me, our bus driver, and said our one bus that we use all the time was making an awful brake noise, and so we just had that in. That voucher's not in here yet. It'll be in next month's. And I got that bill, and that came back at about, what, 2,500?
Where are we getting the repairs?
So I called, well, I called Mr. Pink where it had gone to, and he said, can you explain to me why this bus was so bad that we literally replaced everything? I have dealt with Rod in the past. We had buses in the program that I worked in the past. So I, you know, and he said basically everything in it was bad. He does know that I expect a heads up on that. And I didn't quite get it with this one, but he's well aware that that doesn't work for me in the future. If they had to replace calipers, rotors, brakes, he said it was bad. And I said, well, how did it get this bad? Because we should be, you know, we have maintenance sheets done on these every day. So where did we fall off the line here? So I wasn't very happy about that. He knew I wasn't very happy about that.
Seems like on oil changes they would have caught that, because that's one of the things that are checked.
And I want to look at, we do have inspections coming up in May.
Which they don't worry about.
That's what, yeah. I take my car to Riley Motors, and that's what that's part of their oil change, and okay. They do check.
Great. Buses are a little bit, I will say, buses are a little bit trickier. They don't always, I mean, we ran school buses in Head Start, and I had those inspected twice a year. And even then, twice a year, we would still have major expenses crop up. They just, I don't know why, but.
Likewise.
And when something goes on a bus, it's bigger and more expensive.
Do these two repairs and these vans you're talking about make these vans so that you're sure that they're going to be available?
Well, the bus one that we have, that you don't even have the voucher in, that just literally I got the beginning of this week, that we have to have that bus. That is a bus that we use a lot.
Is that the one that takes all the outings and they go around to the meal
site? It's one of our wheelchair accessible.
So if the silver one, as you call it, would be fixed, you'd maybe use it more often?
We could probably use it for somewhat more transportation. Right now it is causing us some issues, not having it. However, this kind of is going to run into my transportation update and what's going on there. So what I would recommend at the time that this came up, things had kind of changed. What I would probably recommend is maybe that the committee as a whole, when they meet on transportation, decide how much money they
what
want to put into
that
van.
So do we need a motion to refund?
I don't
this
think
to committee?
So. Yeah, if you want to do that, that's fine.
Someone like to make a motion to refer this particular problem to the transportation committee?
Sure. I think I'm on the transportation.
That's good, Steve.
Steve made a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Shirley seconds. Any further discussion on?
I'm just glad the bus didn't break down when they were on it.
Absolutely.
Brakes fail or something.
Yeah. And Rod, like I said, I have worked with Rod in the past, and I have worked with many auto repair places in the past. And you know, you have to kind of make sure that you're informing them that I would like to be notified ahead of time. And I don't want to say anything, but there are just the times they look at a county vehicle as being like a moneymaker for them sometimes, and I want to make sure that's not happening.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. I said I had to sit in the garage over in Platteville yesterday waiting for the air conditioning to be fixed, and
yeah.
I decided there's only one thing worse than waiting at a garage to have something like that fixed when you don't have any control over it, is waiting in the lobby of your doctor. You have no control.
You
just
you
sit there
you just
and
sit
and wait.
Wait your turn, yeah.
Wait your turn. Okay, on to nutrition update.
Nutrition update. We did do the free meals in March. The Eckstein Foundation paid for free meals. March is nutrition month, so we did a whole promotion around Aren't We Lucky? And they provided meals. And it went very, very well, I think. We provided little table tents for all the tables that said, aren't we lucky to have these, you know, generous donation. And they did some shamrocks, and they wrote some thank you notes, and we sent those off to the Ecksteins. And in looking at some numbers, I don't have April numbers in yet. And these were based on preliminary because we didn't have them all in. So when you look at the reports, they might be a little different. But we did see a 46% increase from January and from what our March meals were. So that was good. And about a 37% increase, I think, from February to March. And then in congregate, we saw a 21% increase from January and a 20% increase from February. Overall, we saw about a 32% increase from January and a 28% increase. So we did get a lot of new people in. Now the key, that's great, but that was all free. So the key will be is if to see if we retain some of those people in April. And we're working on a new reporting system. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, I do think it got the word out. And I think the one thing that was really nice about it was people just didn't get to come once for a free meal and try it. They actually got to come a few times and felt comfortable doing that to see if they were really going to, you know, like it. And I do know from some meal site managers that we have retained people. So I think it was good, and I did, and Ecksteins were really happy with it. I did tell them, you know, because they wanted us to spend out that money this year.
And Laura, can I interject something
yes.
here? There seemed to be some misinformation out there with maybe some of the meal site managers or the volunteers or something, because I heard comments in the community about how ADRC was supposed to be spending that money and they weren't, and Ecksteins were mad, and I was trying to correct that without...
They just wanted to say thank you. That's what they wanted, didn't they?
There was some
misinformation out there.
Well, you know, they did ask us to spend out the money.
But that's been recent, and it wasn't in the past.
So I don't know where that's coming from.
Have we received any further money from them?
No. However, we've got about $37,000 left, about $37,800 left in the trust. I did speak with Doreen. I sent her a long email, and then she has also sent me one back that was very, very nice. And she, they really liked that. And I said, we'd really like to do it again next year. Yeah, I said it. I think it's a great, and I said, you know, we had to put it together so fast. I said, I'd really like to take the time to plan it, do much more promotion. We could do more radio ads. We could do, you know, promote it even bigger if we had more time. She didn't say no to that. I haven't quite pushed yet whether it would be with, if we leave the money in the trust or whatever. I also talked to her about some other things. One of the things that we did, I kind of put the market study, Linda and I had talked, and we have really, if you look at it, it's our home delivered that had the biggest increase. It's our home delivered that we're still, I think, missing the mark on, and the market study has kind of shown that as well. I did put Linda on hold when the whole Ecksteins thing, when they said they wanted the money spent and they kind of changed their mind on it. I said to Linda, I asked our nutrition consultant or our market study consultant to kind of hold down a little bit. But we do need to brainstorm on that. One of the things that happened was Ruth and I attended the Wisconsin Association of Nutrition Directors in March. And I really kind of came away from it feeling a little bit discouraged. They talked about their revitalization projects, and none of the projects really that they talked about had seen a significant increase in participants. I talked to a few directors who were doing restaurants, and they didn't really feel that that really was providing, while it maybe provided them a different group of participants, it didn't necessarily increase their participants. In a few areas it did, in Dane, but probably that was because it was a nicer restaurant. What concerned me a little bit was, are we trading our participants? You know, are we attracting a more higher income And are we letting the lower income then not go? So that kind of concerned me a little bit. One of the things that Sarah Koenig, who is the nutrition consultant for the state, had talked about was they think they're going to do another revitalization grant process. And she literally came away and said we wanted some really wild and crazy ideas because clearly what they have done isn't giving them the results they want. So they wanted people really thinking outside of the box and looking at ways to do that. So I had spoke with our marketing study consultant a little bit. Ruth and I talked all the way home from Stevens Point trying to brainstorm what we could do and where we were lacking. And one of the things that we actually did talk about was how could we work better with hospitals to get meals out to people who need them. So it's funny that you brought that up because what we wanted to do is possibly meet with the hospitals and say, you know, could you keep this many frozen meals on hand? And then if you had somebody who was being discharged that wasn't going to be able to have meals, you could actually send the meals home with them. We can, you know, it'll be through our program, but the meals can actually go right home with them. And so that they don't have to go home, call us, make those arrangements. We'd like to see a
wonderful
collaboration. An easier transition there.
Restaurants just weren't interested in it.
Well, the biggest area that I have right now, Steve, honestly, is Lancaster. We need to do something with here. And the two restaurants that probably would work the both are both down in the downtown square where parking is such an issue yet. So we just haven't worked through that yet. But I do think that is an area that we still have to work on. The other thing that we talked about, because this home delivered is really, like I said, a 46% increase from January to March, that tells me that people out there still need home delivered meals. But Grant County is big and it is very rural, and it is impossible to get people out on routes. So we kind of talked about, Ruth and I kind of brainstormed, and then we talked about it with our marketing research person to see if it matched up to our research, and she felt that it did. And two things I'm kind of thinking of. First of all, right now our freezable meals just come out of our meal sites. And the quality kind of depends on how good our volunteers and our meal site manager are at, first of all, knowing what freezes well and putting that together and freezing it. But none of our meal sites have the capability of really doing a real quality flash freeze and, you know, having a decent one. So we have talked a little bit about what if we could find somebody who might be, who could produce a better, higher quality frozen meal. And then possibly what if we could do, like, you know how the Schwann's van comes out every 2 weeks to different places and you say, okay, this is what I want, this is what I want. So our thought was, would people be more inclined to say, okay, I want 3 roast beef dinners, and then I want 2 chicken, and then I want, you know, 3 whatever, as opposed to, well, I'm going to get whatever's on the menu this week because that's what they give me. And I might really not like what they have, but that's what I get. So we're kind of, you know, still brainstorming that out a little bit. We're going to talk to Sarah at the state.
And you could make the trip if you're delivering more than one meal at a time.
Well, what we would like to do then is we'd maybe come out to Woodman like once every 2 weeks and have those people that are out in that rural area get their meals from us is what we're kind of thinking. Now, Southwest Tech, I just found out literally about a week ago, is taking their dining services back. They have been, UW-Platteville has been doing the dining services for Southwest Tech. UW-Platteville's giving that up. Southwest Tech is taking it back over. The dining services manager from Southwest Tech that is currently there is applying for the job at Southwest Tech. So I had a little conversation with him and said, well, here, I got this thing that I'm thinking we might want to do at some point. So I said, you know, think about that, and as you're interviewing, bring that up. You know? So we have looked at that. I also ran that by X-Tiding Foundation and said, you know, here's something we're thinking about. We're going to talk to the state, and they're very interested in it as well. And there again, her feeling was, you know, if we've got some of this money, could you use that to provide another van driver, you know, to get some of these meals out? So I think, you know, I don't know. You tell me. Do you think we're hitting on something that might be, I feel if it was me, I'd like to choose my own meals. I don't want to necessarily just eat what somebody sends me out that's frozen that I may not like that well.
Well, that's probably why they come or don't come. It depends on if they like the meal.
Right. Yeah.
I think no matter what we do, we're not going to save any money on anything because we still got to pay for the meals X amount of dollars regardless of where they come from. So it's just a matter of convenience and what it is that fits us the best.
Yeah. And it does reach out to those. Right now, you know, we literally have to, we sometimes have to tell people no because we can't get out to their homes.
Yeah,
we just don't have a route out there. And sometimes we'll, you know, we try to help them brainstorm. Do they have somebody that can come into the meal site and get those meals? But, you know, we're just trying to look at some new things. So
if it would be convenient for us to give them a whole week's worth of meals, that'd be the easiest.
Yeah.
You only got to go out there once a week or whatever.
Right.
It's going to be kind of tough for those guys to figure out, you know, now this week we're going to have a whole bunch more meals than we had, than we will have next week or the week after that.
Yeah. But if they kind of order ahead.
Yeah.
Typically, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
They can order an extra meal sometimes if they're really at risk for nutrition, they can order.
What do you figure is an average meal of cost?
The cost, actually, if you look at what, we do an overall cost, so that includes our volunteers, our staff, our transportation. It's about $10 a meal.
We lose our butt on.
We charge $3.50.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
so
set
if you
up.
Went to some place like the Piggly Wiggly and bought those Hungry Man's frozen dinners. You know, they offer all sorts of things. How would that versus?
Well, first of all, I'm pretty sure the state wouldn't allow us to do that.
But
you're right.
It probably doesn't meet dietary recommendations.
No, it does have to meet some dietary regulation.
Yeah.
It has to be portioned. We actually have to have a nutrition or a dietitian look at that menu and make sure that it's complete within the week. There are some regulations set up there. But, you know, we're just, I think potentially I'm going to talk to Sarah. They haven't set out new grants yet, so I think we'll see what they think. But they're really looking for something out there. Our current congregate sites, they're just failing. I mean, and I think, personally, when I came on board, I thought, why the state should have been doing this 10 years ago, not wait until now. Because baby boomers are not necessarily interested in these sites as much as...
We can still cook.
You know.
Yeah.
And people don't retire at 62 anymore. So there is a lot going on there, and I'll kind of keep you updated as, you know, right now we're just sort of trying to feel out. If you've got some wild ideas that you think would work, but Doreen was interested in that, so we'll kind of, I do plan on having another conversation with her. And if they do want the money spent out, we'll probably offer another free month. Again, later in the year, I told her I didn't want to do it for Older Americans Act because it was too close to this one. And quite frankly, I told her straight out I was concerned about our donations going down if we offered two free months too close together.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have people that are, you know, if they've got it for free, they're not going to really want to come back and donate for
us. No, but I like your idea being sure that we get the people who really need those meals.
To me, that is important. I really think, I think we should be looking at those people that are isolated, alone, and lower income. I really do think that's the target who we need to be. And we know we have a lot of isolated seniors out there because Grant County's got little pockets that I've never been in, you know.
Right.
And there's still people living on the farm out there.
When
so.
We went to over there to the Lancaster and ate that day, didn't they appreciate that when we came?
Very much so.
We talked about doing it at different times.
I think we're going to bring that up again.
Yeah.
I think it's good for us to visit those sites. So maybe, you know, maybe, if, I don't know if that's on here anyway, our place.
No,
but
we can certainly, you know,
think
we can
about
certainly
it.
Plan
I
for
just wonder how the
on.
Feedback came.
As the weather is better, we could.
I do think some of them really do appreciate that.
I think those meal site managers need to know
yep.
that our faces and that.
Yep.
I think that they know who we are.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
pick different meal sites.
They're facing. So, but I mean, the face of aging is really changing. It's not, you know, people aren't old at 60. Nobody even wants to be classified
60.
As old
60.
At 60.
I can't even remember that.
I was
going to
say, what happened there? I forgot that age.
ready?
We had a 10-year slip, right?
You know, probably
back,
the biggest.
Back 70 again.
The biggest problem we have right, you know,
add
one of the problems
that,
we have though is the aging and disability. People are like, well, you're aging and disability, and I often have to explain, yes, we are, but we have aging monies and we have disability monies that come
yeah.
from the state, and they do not mix. You know, people are like, well, I'm disabled, so I should get, you know, a free meal, or I we get that about once a week, and I'm like. Yeah, it's the elderly nutrition program, and it is set up for people over 60. And you know, so we do try to help people on disabilities find other resources, but they have to be waivered from the state in order to qualify from our program. We can't even just give them that. It literally has to be a waiver that we send to the state in order to have them qualify. And that comes up, you know, fairly frequently. But you're aging and disability, and it's. Yes, we are, but...
Okay, anything further on nutrition?
Nope, that should do it.
All right, how about transportation update?
Transportation update. We have had a personnel change here. Rita Harmon has retired, effective in April. So I am looking at our transportation programs. She is still on the payroll right now because she's got some vacation time and things like that. So we are right now temporarily, as you'll see, LT position will be coming up next, but we have an LT in place. We had an intern here this past semester, that had worked with us. And so I spoke with Mary Lou, I spoke with Joyce, and got permission to hire an LTE to cover our front desk. At least for the summertime, until we can decide what we want to do with the nutrition or with the transportation program. When we did the whole restructuring and did the transportation coordinator, that was mostly done because Rita was a long-term employee. And so I'm thinking at this point we don't necessarily need a full-time transportation coordinator. We need to determine what it is we do need. So right now we've got Mariah, who had been the backup for transportation this past 6 months. She's sort of taking over that right now and doing some of the scheduling. We have some things that we have to clean up. We have to get some billing completed. That was an issue. And I'm working with Continuous to try to get them out here because we have to now be trained and in their whole authorization and claim system, which has changed. And so they had promised me they'd come out in mid-May, and now it's been moved back to June, so I'm not real happy with that. Continuous has been obviously a little chaotic, too, since they're the long-term care people, and I know they've had lost a lot of staff because of the current climate. So what I would like to do is have a transportation committee meet and look at what it is we want to provide in terms of transportation and setting some priorities. Right now, we have buses. We have a north bus route. We have a south bus route that goes different places and has a schedule. We have taxi, which runs in Lancaster, Boscobel, and Fenimore on different days of the week. And we have our specialized transportation, which is... people who need a wheelchair transport, basically. We provide some of that. And then we have our TRIPS program, which is our volunteer driver escort program. So we work with volunteer drivers, and they provide mostly transportation to medical appointments for people not on Medicaid. People on Medicaid have to go through the Medicaid transportation
program. They use their
program.
Own vehicles, don't they?
Yes, they do. They do.
But after you said buses, what was the next one?
Buses, taxi. And then
specialized wheelchair ones and volunteer driver program.
And then volunteer driver program. I think in looking at some of the things, I think we're operating a little more out of our scope of services than we need to be. I think we have to set some priorities of who we want to provide transportation to and how much we want to do. Specialized
about a distant mileage thing or something?
I think so. We have been providing transportation to some of the nursing homes, and one in particular that concerns me because we have a lot of nursing homes in Grant County.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't provide transportation for all of them. And should we provide transportation for all of them? Should we? So those are the kinds of issues I'm looking at. Do we want to be that? Because I have been approached by Orchard Manor as well. And we've been approached by a couple others that know we've done some.
Then they don't have to have a van. Mm-hmm.
The other thing is there are specialized transport companies out there that provide specialized transports from people that are in nursing homes that are wheelchair bound. And should we be in that business? Do we want to be in that business? We have that area has grown a lot in the last 2 years since we've gotten into it.
Who pays the taxi one? They pay themselves.
Taxi is pretty much, I would say we do get some money from DOT for the shared ride taxi, and then we also get revenue from, passenger revenue. The taxi runs 2 days a week all day in Lancaster, and then it runs a half day in Fenimore in the morning, and then a half day in Boscobel in the afternoon, and then vice versa on the other day. The taxi, I think, is well used, and I think we're trying to encourage more use of it. We're trying to work with, say, Continuous, who's the family care provider, to get their clients to utilize that taxi more when they have a doctor's appointment. Instead of calling for a volunteer driver, we've got a taxi right in town. You know, schedule your appointments for Friday afternoon in Boscobel. The taxi can take you, and it will be cheaper.
Yeah.
We do have a contract. I need to point out, we have a contract with Continuous that they do contact us for volunteer driver programs when they have people that need to go to medical appointments. They do pay a setup fee of $12 for that, and then they do pay the costs involved in that too. And that is typical across counties, that other counties they're utilizing that as well. However, billing was a real issue last year, and I think I made that clear to you, and we need to get on board with that. So I am, like I said, I want to get this training complete for Mariah so we can jump on that very, very quickly.
Who's on that committee?
I don't. I could not find any documentation to who's been on past committees, so I think you're on it, Steve.
I remember seeing something in minutes at one point.
That's been a long time ago.
Yes, it was.
Well, I've got a paper here. But these people are on our board anymore.
Yeah, so I would just like to ask two or three of you, and Dave and Carrie are both excused today, so if they're interested too, but if I've got, two or three people that can kind of sit down with me a little bit, and I can, I'll explain the systems a little bit more. I just really feel like we need to kind of define our parameters of where we're going to, the kind of transportation we're going to offer. Yeah. And the other thing is, that I didn't mention, was we have the Dodgeville taxi as well. I don't know how that came about, but we do provide...
Well, I think that was through a collab. They wanted collaborative efforts of
it
some
is our,
sort.
It is our taxi. The payroll is ours.
It comes through the regional part of it. Somehow you got stuck with that.
It's
the regional.
Right.
But it's not coming through ADRC money. It comes through DOT.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. And whether we want, I have no thoughts as to whether that, I occasionally get questions from county board members like, why are we running the taxi in Dodgeville? And I'm like, I don't know the history, but, that's something we can look at as well. The specialized concerns me because it's definitely, we're getting more and more and more requests. And the requests are out there. And we've been filling requests that I don't think necessarily were within our scope of services.
Like to go to doctor appointments?
No, we were getting even more outside of that. So,
Well, sometimes if the people don't have a way to get there, or a wheelchair, or so forth, and they're just even going to a graduation party.
Well, we just had one at a graduation this past weekend. We just had one for a funeral. Those are, I get that.
They're legitimate, but are they still within the scope? Is what you're trying to say?
I think I think we need to just define.
We get 911 calls in Boscobel. Somebody wants a ride to the doctor.
What does your policy say?
That's just it. We don't have.
Maybe you need to update our policy.
Yeah, we don't have a lot.
You need to create one, sounds like.
I think, yes. Yeah. And, some of you know this is nothing new. I've had my sights on different programs since I came here, but transportation was one of them that was in my radar.
I've been here quite a while. I don't think we've ever had a transportation meeting.
Yeah.
you say, I think most of the people that run it when I was here, gone.
So, you know, there definitely are some issues that we need to deal with.
So do you need to set a date?
I would like to get some people that might be interested in, you know, Steve, you've been here a while. Would you be interested in sitting on it? Okay.
Do you need me on there?
If you would like to be on there,
I just think transportation is a huge issue.
Yeah, it is.
It's a huge issue.
Transportation rises to the top of any needs assessment that you'll do out here. Oftentimes, however, it's not utilized. And, you know, people say, yes, we need public transportation, but then our bus service really isn't all used all that much. And those are also parameters I want to set. You know, are we going to set the bus doesn't run if we've only got four people on it? Now, today the bus is running and we have five people on it, and mostly it's because Myrtle, who's turning 96, I didn't run it last month, and she missed her birthday, so for lunch, so I let it run today. Because she's 96 and I didn't want to pick her wrong.
Darn right, you need to celebrate that.
But those are some of the issues that we've also got. We've got some big trips that I have some thoughts about, and again, setting those parameters about if we're going to run those trips if we've only got so many people going. I would like those to come from the board, because right now we've got dialysis. We had 10 dialysis patients on. I have made arrangements for two of them to go with other transportation friends. We cannot do 10 dialysis patients through our volunteer driver.
And doesn't that tie up the transportation?
That's three times a week, so that's 30 trips right there.
We had a priority for dialysis. However, that's beyond our scope.
Is it always to Platteville? No.
We've had some in Richland Center. We have some in Platteville. We have some sometimes. We actually had a request the other day from one in Brookfield. And we said, no, we can't do that.
When I know a lady out of Mount Hope that goes to Platteville, takes their patient to Platteville.
Yeah. So those are some of the issues I want to talk about, and just, you know, really say, you know, what's our capacity, and should we be doing some of the trips we've been doing? When I came on board, everybody was in this, like, let's just grow our transportation program big. And it was kind of all the counties in the region here were all trying to, like, just do everything they could to attract customers. But in doing that, I think we sort of lost our purpose and what's the county's role in transportation.
So if it's Steve and I and you, do you need one more? Or
and if
anybody else?
I'll take the county side of it.
Okay. That'd be great.
If we make some cutbacks, is that going to bother Eckstein at all?
Eckstein has nothing to do with transportation.
Okay.
They don't put any money into it at all. No, it's DOT and county levy.
That gives four of us. That's
pretty good. That's good.
Do you want to set a date, or you're going to contact us?
How about if I'll contact you and do some, like, I'll set three different dates?
Sure.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Let us know.
No, curiosity, you do this in the evening, or you want to do it daytime?
That's up to you guys, whatever works best for
Mornings
you.
Mornings are certainly easier. For
Mornings?
Yeah.
Does that work better for you?
As long as
I ain't got another committee, I'm good to go.
If I stick off Tuesdays and Thursdays, because I'm going to have three grandkids.
Tuesday's kind of a lousy day.
So if I have like Mondays and Wednesdays.
Mondays are the city council is always on Monday.
Like
night,
a Monday morning? Does Monday morning work for you, or do you have
committee?
You know, you guys have so many committees.
I got my little. No, I don't think.
If you just want to meet after the meeting, we could schedule.
The only Monday morning I have is law enforcement, and that is on.
Well, how about we just meet after the meeting,
okay,
and we'll see if we can pin down the date.
Okay, so that takes care
Thank
of that.
You.
Let's go to the LTE position.
And I did mention, I talked with Joyce because I really needed to get somebody filling transportation requests. They come in, you know, every single day. And it was really impossible for Mariah to be handling the front desk and handling all the transportation requests. So I talked to Joyce, and since we've had the intern, she had said to go ahead, we could hire the LTE as long as I had Mary Lou's permission.
She
very,
had
very
my permission.
Wisely gave me her permission. Which I appreciated, but if you would like to go ahead and approve that position having been filled, right now Paige is just here for the summer. this will give me a better handle. We're going to do some different reporting systems, so I'll know whether we need somebody part-time, full-time, or what we're going to need.
No, is this going to be an LTE with benefits?
It's an LTE part-time, 20 hours, no benefits.
We got both positions in the county,
yeah.
The reason I asked.
Yeah, and...
some LTEs with benefits and some without.
What...
Depending on how many hours they put in.
Yeah. She's working 4 hours a day for us. The advantage we had here was she was already trained at our front desk as an intern. So she knew our programs. She's worked for Lafayette County ADRC and us, so she's very well versed.
So I need somebody to make a motion.
Yep.
I need somebody to make a motion to approve the LTE position.
Yeah.
Steve goes, yeah.
Lester second.
I'm not sure if he's got a second or a question.
Yeah, I'll second it. I love this here. Yeah.
So formal.
You're the mayor?
Yeah. Any further discussion on this? I think she laid it out pretty good as to why we need the position.
Right.
Okay. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed.
Okay.
Now reclassifying the transportation position.
Right. I do believe we need to reclassify this, and that does need to go to executive committee.
Yes.
It needs to come out of here and then go to executive committee. As I said before, that position, when we restructured, was really given because we had a long-term employee here who'd been here a long time, and we kind of, you know, everybody wanted to be nice and keep the benefits the same.
So that's different than the LTE.
It is. The LTE is simply a front desk reception position.
Okay.
This one would actually be changing that transportation coordinator position, which was when Rita left, she was at a salary rate of $2,064, and it was a full-time position.
Mm-hmm.
She was also driving some. We when we reclassified that, we allowed her to drive bus a little bit.
Okay.
I don't really want a coordinator out driving bus so much. Mariah's What I've looked at, and I've talked with Joyce, and what we came up with was we feel an admin assistant 2 position would be, so it would be like a transportation assistant. I would take over supervising the bus drivers. That was done by the coordinator position, but really that's not that big of a deal.
No, you're going to have to rewrite a whole new job description.
Yes, and we have done that, yes.
And so when you, if I understand, you're saying you need approval from this committee to take it
to take
the
it to
county
executive.
Board, executive
no,
committee?
Take it to the executive committee.
Right, exactly.
Then they'll bring it to the county.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got to leapfrog all through all of this.
Yes.
Recommendations of the board, yeah.
The frog better not stand up.
You better not croak in the middle in between.
What we're looking at right now is probably a half-time position. It's an assistant position. So the supervising... You know, the evaluations and things would be done by me. It would not be. She would not be in a supervisory position. She would be an assistant, but she would do all the coordinating, the scheduling with participants and the scheduling of drivers for the buses and things like that. And also take do some of the reporting, the claims, and the billing. Because we do a lot of it literally is scheduling, billing, and
this would be
claims.
A benefit position.
Yes, and it already is. Mariah's already
right,
in a full-time
right.
position as an office assistant, too. So what we would look at, and like I said, this has all been talked with Joyce at Personnel, is we would look at having half of her position, so 20 hours of it would be transportation, so it would be an admin assistant, too, for 20 hours, and it would be office assistant, too, for the other 20. The benefits would stay what she has right now.
Right.
Salary's
so
the
she'd
same.
Actually
benefits
the
same.
Salary would actually so she'd have a little bit of an increase in salary for those 20 hours.
Okay, so she'd have two different.
And the fiscal
yes.
impact you've already figured
it,
out.
It is, and it's actually if you look at you know what we were, it's actually a savings for us of probably about $27,000 right now. If you just looked at what she would have at 20 hours versus what we had at 40, it's about $27,000.
Right.
We would probably, like I said, we're going to try it through the summer with the LTE, and then if that works, then we probably would have to, again, you know, put somebody up in there part-time at the front desk as well.
But
we've already had
available.
The full-time position. So in all reality, we're going from a full-time position to a half-time position for transportation, so there would be a savings to the budget.
So
they're going to, the executive committee is going to ask you for a fiscal impact.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you for that new job description.
And we have that.
New title.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it would be an admin assistant.
You hold her to it. You hold her to it.
It's already done.
That question, I just save you the argument when you get there if it's already done.
That's right.
Yeah. I think
I know how it works.
I think we can do it easily enough within the 20. Mariah's feeling pretty comfortable, and once we get the claims process for continuous, that's really what we're waiting on. Because a lot of it simply is. It's scheduling, it's billing, and it's submitting claims.
So what I need is a motion to reclassify the transportation position.
Send it to exec committee.
And send it to executive committee. Jan makes the motion.
Reclassify and send it to
Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Shirley seconds. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Pass.
Okay.
Vacation carryover.
Well, Lori had vacation time scheduled for this week and next week, but since my transportation coordinator retired, it's been a little hectic around here. So I am hoping, I have about 3275. I don't even have the exact amount. I think I might have used some the other day. So, to use by June 3rd. I'm really hoping to take some off on Friday and maybe some next week. But literally, with things in transportation, I simply could not. I just couldn't do that to the extent that I was hoping to. So, I do need committee permission to carry it over. It is in the handbook that we can do that. Those hours then need to be used up right away, and I can't carry over into the following year. So,
those would be the first hours you would use up. Okay.
Yes. Yes. And believe me, there is a vacation planned in my future. So.
All right. I need a motion for her to be able to carry. Steve.
Yeah.
Steve makes a motion. Do I have a second? Mike seconds. Any further discussion? I think she does a pretty good job of explaining to us here why. So, when hearing none, all
who
those in favor.
Second? Oh,
Mike
okay,
did.
Thank you.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. All right, the lean.
Lean initiative. We're getting lean. Unfortunately, the lean initiative has big bowls of candy on every desk, and so we're not really getting that lean, are we, Crystal? The lean initiative is the county got a grant, and for those of you who don't know, the county got a grant. Lean has been used in manufacturing for a really long time to look at processes and systems and make them more efficient. While respecting people is the big thing. It's been big in the Japanese culture, Toyota and things like that. They're looking at it now more in terms of business, and so they have kind of a government version of it now. And the county got a grant and brought it to Lancaster, and we have several department heads and staff in it. It's actually a 16-week class that meets 5 hours every week. And then we have some people from Platteville Police Department and City of Lancaster and City of Platteville as well that also took part in this. So we have been working on lean projects. Some of it was the 5S I think I told you about way back in March. It's the sort and declutter and organize things, and we have really been working hard on that here because we had a lot of clutter. We still have some, I'm not going to lie to you, but we have gotten rid of a lot. And again, looking at those systems, the big project that we are working on, Crystal and I are both taking the class, is our nutrition reporting system, because you're all well aware, since I have come on board, which was almost going to be 2 years now, I have complained about our nutrition reporting system not being very accurate and being very labor intensive. I would suspect if you ask Crystal, she would say it's one of her most hated activities of her job. Because it just wasn't designed very well. So we have Nancy Scott, who is our finance manager, working with us. And Nancy is a guru on Excel spreadsheets. So she has been working with us on this lean initiative to figure out how we can make this process more streamlined, more efficient, and that it doesn't take Crystal a week to go through, 11 manager meal site reports for a month. And I think we're almost there. We met the other day. We've got the forms done. A lot of it is testing. A lot of it is working with your task level experts, because people who do the job know what does and what doesn't work. That's part of lean. So Nancy was going to finish up the form, and then we're going to have one of our meal site managers come in, test out the form, see where the bugs are, if there's any issues with it, see if it actually gives us what we want. The whole thing is, it's been very redundant for them, and if they make an error, it's very hard to catch in the current reporting system. With Nancy's reporting system, they should enter things in once. It should all pull to a total thing. Crystal should be able to take those numbers, pull it all into one spreadsheet, and hopefully, if all goes well, we're going to have a nice, accurate reporting system that can use.
I have a question on this. The non-eligible, you have eligible and non-eligible. Mm-hmm. Is that like if I brought somebody, a friend of mine, who's not eligible, or who's the non-eligible?
We receive what's called NSIP money, which is money that comes out of USDA. Don't ask me what NSIP stands for, because I don't remember right now. But it's an extra reimbursement that we get for eligible people. And eligibility is defined by Title III and the feds. An eligible person is anyone over 60. An eligible person is... an ineligible person is either a staff person who's under 60 or just anyone under 60. And they have to pay the full price of that meal. They cannot get it for the discounted cost. When we submit that, we get extra money for all those over 60. So they look at that and then they calculate a percentage of that money and give us. So we get a little extra for all the over 60 eligibles. So we always have to.
For the ones that are over 60,
over
60. And are eligible.
Right. Okay. Over 60 staff are considered eligible as well because they meet the target audience. But under 60 staff are not eligible. People that are on family care that Continuous is paying for their meals, they are not considered eligible because they're already reimbursing us. So, and they have to pay the full cost of those meals as well. So that's where that comes from.
Okay. Thank you.
So that's our lean initiative. We were also going to keep working on 5S projects. We're going to be looking at the transportation reports because they definitely need to be streamlined. So we've already talked with Danica. She's going to help us out with that. Danica is from Region, the ADRC Regional Office, and she is also very good in Excel. So she's taken some of those on for us and going to help us with that. And then the other thing that we're doing is one of the things they talked about is like a 5-minute Monday or a morning huddle every morning just to kind of give people what's going on, the heads up. And so we're starting that, although we just started it on Wednesday and I forgot Wednesday. We just started yesterday and I already forgot yesterday and today. So Mariah actually came out and said, are we meeting? I'm like, yes. So I got to get kind of in the groove of that. But it's again, it's kind of a team building thing to just very quickly meet. You know, if anybody needs help, especially with transportation the way it is, you know, I'm having to pull staff in at different things. So
how many staff do you have that attend that?
In here? Yeah. It's all the staff that are in here right now. So typically we have about 9 regular staff. Sometimes we have an LT that comes in for reporting purposes. So I think the Lean Initiative has been very good. The county's really pushing for it. And yeah. We've learned a lot. And I think we've done a lot. So we're going to wrap up, I think, mid-June, end of June?
End of June.
So.
Sounded right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
anything else on Lean?
It's been a big push in the county for all departments.
Yeah, and we have been asked to keep informing our boards what we are doing in terms of Lean.
Well, I think anytime you can.
You would be surprised what they got rid of out there at the sheriff's department. It's been cluttered hanging around there.
You'd be surprised what we got rid of here. We took out a lot of stuff here.
It doesn't look like a collection of whatever.
Okay, we're on to approval of vouchers.
Okay.
Do you have any comments on the vouchers?
We should tell Mike that this is an unusually long meeting this time, too. But, you know, I laugh. We didn't meet in April. But literally, it didn't matter if we would have, because this would have all still been on this agenda. So,
Mike, when you came in today, did they issue you a life jacket? You're supposed to have one because this does fly.
Yeah.
Life jacket.
Yeah.
Anybody have any questions?
I haven't even got a life jacket.
Need a flak jacket.
I just updated our emergency transportation list with new staff, and Ruth said, how come we're doing this again? Usually we don't need this till winter. I said, we had a tornado in June last year, and the June before we had major flooding in Grant County, so we need an emergency list.
Right.
Any question on the vouchers?
Make a motion to approve.
Steve has made a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Yes.
Lester seconds that. Any further questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The approval of a voucher so fast. The financial report.
Again, I don't think there's anything really...
Other than your buses and stuff?
Other than a few. And the big brakes one isn't even in there anyway. The financial report, I should say, for 2014, we did come up, we did meet under our projected budget. However, we could have been lower if we would have had some billing issues. So that's why billing is big on my radar right now. Some of our revenue is just now starting to come in. GWAR, you can maybe explain that a little bit. GWAR, some of it, you're not going to see as much revenue in here yet because it comes in quarters. So,
okay.
And same with some of our nutrition. Not all the revenue will be in there. So, but I think we're sitting pretty good. So.
Any questions on the financial report? We need a motion on that too, don't we?
I'll make a motion to accept the financial report.
Jan made a motion to accept the financial report. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Shirley seconds. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of the financial report, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed. Now we need reports from the ADRC director.
Some of that stuff I've already told you. Some of it's new stuff. I won't elaborate too much. We do have a stove venting system in Boscobel that I met with Arlie on, and Steve, I did tell them to go ahead and get what they need done on that, and we'll pay at least half of it, because I think X-Time will cover some of that for us, and if I can pay a little more, we have a new ordinance down there in our venting system for the big stove that's in our meal site needs to be updated, because it went from wet to dry or dry to wet. I don't remember can't remember which way it was. But anyway, it's a couple $1,000s. So we are looking, since we are the main ones, I think we put the stove in and we use it. We did talk to the city or talk to Arlie. I didn't talk to Steve because he wasn't there. Just had to give you a hard time, Steve. So we will be taking care of that because obviously we don't want to be out of compliance with that ordinance and have any issues. Other than that, like I said, Human Services Day, we had an ADRC conference. We had staff going to that. It was very good. Mary Lou went to that. Is there anything you want to add on the... I thought it was a good conference, considering they took a lot out of it because of the budget proposals.
The only thing, I did go up and talk to the one speaker after with the DNR, because I have hunters in the family and fishermen, and between that and the whole idea of renaming our state park system kind of just churned a little bit, because it's like they say, you can go across to Iowa and you don't pay anything to get into the state parks, and now here, I know we just got our state park and it cost us as senior citizens 10, but my son went in and it cost him 25. And now they want to be able to raise that. And, I mean, the statistics out there show that no state parks can function and make it on straight. And so what it is to me is a downward spiral of allowing somebody else to come in. My question to the individual, I can't remember her name from the DNR, was if... Because what she did was spend a lot of time talking about these nice cabins that we have made in different places for our handicapped people, and more are slated to be built. But what bothered me then was, if we cannot maintain and we're not going to build more, if someone takes over and all of a sudden it becomes the Mary Lou State Park, who's going to maintain it? You know, are you going to have volunteers or what? And who's going to build these new places for our disabled? And I hate to say this, but I had one person say to me straight out that maybe there's some places people shouldn't go. And I'm thinking, whoa.
I know, they're talking
I was
about
not the
every,
right person to say that yeah. to,
they're
coming from the field.
Every, all the canoes have to be, they want to have them all be registered and pay a registration fee for every canoe, let alone the boats. They have one canoe, the canoes, the guy in basketball's got over 1,000 canoes.
Yeah.
He says, you realize what I'm going to have to pay to register every one of those
canoes? Then I would say, let's register all these bicycles that's out running around on the roads.
Yeah.
That's not paying either.
You know, and the point of it is none of that. And she stood there talking to me, and then all of a sudden she started doing this. We're not supposed to talk about it. So that was a lady from the DNR who they have come out with again in the budget, supposedly, and nothing is really set up.
And I don't know where that is in the budget.
But I've got a prime example of that, and I just heard about it, is that we built that Camden handicapped playground there in a park in Janesville. And they haven't kept it up.
Mm.
So now they're looking to try to get funds to, you know, bring it back up.
Mm.
And that was all put together with volunteer.
Yep, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be private donations, you know. I mean, we know who it is, makes it very clear that the state is not going to pay for this stuff anymore. It's either going to be private donations or it will be sold.
Go to hell. Pardon the language.
Well, you should turn that thing off.
And all the money that we put into tourism in the state, millions and millions of dollars, we want people to come to our state. That's what we want.
And there's some fantastic facilities very close by here.
And that's going to drive tourists out.
Well, I said at the regional meeting that my husband said I couldn't do it, but I would like to get a big billboard and just put up Wisconsin for sale, contact Governor Walker.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's really going to be a shame when we start losing, as you say, these places we put a lot of money in. People still have to pay money to go to them, but you're going to start chasing a lot of our people right out of them.
You privatize it and it won't be what it was now.
I wasn't aware how many facilities, Mirror Lake in Wisconsin Dells has some very nice facilities for people with disabilities that, you know, I was stunned at some of the.
But all in all, it was a good conference. If anybody has time to go, they hit on a lot of different areas. But that was one that stuck in my craw.
We had staff there. We've had staff participate in some motivational interviewing and options counseling training. Options counseling is working with private pay people to help them determine maybe what they need to maintain their quality of life and stay at home. Motivational interviewing is some interviewing techniques on how we can draw people out to, you know, really provide them excellent customer service and get to the root of what it is they're looking for. Since oftentimes when people contact the ADRC, they really don't know what they're looking for. They just know they got some issues. They're not really sure. So, again, it's just a technique and how to draw some of that out. We also had three staff and myself participated in the active shooter training, which was provided by the Sheriff's Department.
What is that?
Well, as
it's just curiosity.
As Jeff Johnson said, it's really should be called the active killer training, which didn't make me feel better because he said, you know, it's not just shooters you have to worry about, it's people that are armed. What it is basically there's a whole new, since Columbine, there's been a whole new theory developed around this shelter in place and lockdown, and they don't necessarily recommend that now. When you've got an active shooter or you've got somebody committing acts of violence, the first thing, you know, they're telling you to do is look for a way out, get out, run, get out. If you can't get out and you're in a situation, fight back. Pick up whatever you have to divert and get other, you know, at least get other people
Right.
Out. The last thing is the sheltering in place and hiding, and because those tend to be the people that sometimes will get killed.
We're going through that down there now, and basically what they want is an exit door out of every classroom going to the outside. Mm-hmm. So every classroom has a door that you can get outside.
Yeah, it's
you got to remember really that guy doing the shooting, if he's ducking objects, his accuracy is not there.
And that's what they're pointing at. And they literally talked about, you know, it was a very good training. It was also a little unsettling when you start thinking about it. And it's not just in the workplace. It's anywhere. You can, the movie theater, wherever. You should be aware of where the exits are. You should know.
You just take a look what happened there in Waco, Texas this last week.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But it isn't anymore the kind of lockdown in place and hunker down theory. And it's setting up things to, like, if you do need to barricade your door, having something, I'm not a very big person and I'm not very strong, so I need something that I can slide pretty quickly over. Or they talked about just positioning things at your desk to pick up and throw if you have to. So it was very good. I think part of this whole security issue is, we still have people at our front desk, and social services has people at their front desk that feel vulnerable because they're the first line of entry. And, we had talked about it. I said, if I hear a consumer out in the lobby, whether it be social services or ours, since I can't always differentiate, when I hear voices escalate, I come out. That's my first thing I do. And it doesn't matter who it is, because I want to know if we've got an issue. And, of course, one of the trainers said, well, then you'll be the one that gets shot, Lori. And I'm like, but, maybe, but it's also, I feel responsible to de-escalate if we need to.
But right now, our police officers can't go into our high school with their sidearms on unless they have the okay and passed from the school board.
Wow.
Which our school board did pass. You can go in there with them. But other than that, you can't go into school wearing a sidearm.
No, the nice thing, our
sheriff's department... You can't come in here wearing
one. No.
The nice thing they told us was... what our sheriff's department can is if we have any concerns, to just ask them to come out and drive by, and they are to come out, and they will be happy to do that. So it was a good training, and I think it's definitely something that people need to be aware of. He's like, most people who get shot really do survive, that you don't in shooters aren't, you're right, if things are being thrown at them, their accuracy isn't going to be good. And he's like, if you get shot, that doesn't mean you're going to die.
Well, when you come out of your office, you just need to have that little paperweight in your hand.
And that's what they said. They showed some real life incidents. One was from a school board meeting where a guy came in with a gun, and it, I suppose there were cameras in the room, they had it on, right. it was an actual scenario, and a woman came up and hit him with her purse from behind, and all four of the guys that he'd let everybody else go, but these four school board members who were all men, none of them got up and did anything. And yet there was a several seconds of time where he was distracted and looking at this woman, somebody could have tackled him, and they didn't. And so there's just a new school of thought on that, and it's very proactive, and we want staff to feel safe here, and we also want them to know that, if you have to, set some things up. So I laugh, because Mariah said the other day, put my stapler back there, because I need it in front of me.
Shoot the stapler.
So, you get hit with that son of a gun, it hurts.
So it's good. And the Sheriff's Department is providing this training to a lot of departments. We deal with people with mental health issues here. Obviously, people who deal with social services have, there's child custody issues, there's all sorts of issues. So I think it's important, and it's just... it's important to let staff know that, it's okay. Get out of the building.
Well, I just kind of was interested when I read it there on your...
Yeah, it was... I had to laugh because it was a really bad week, and I said, it was just everything had kind of come down here at once, and I said, it's bad when you're looking forward to the active shooter training as a break in your week. And it definitely, after I came out of it, it wasn't that...
I didn't know whether they were teaching you how to shoot up there or what the world.
No, but it definitely tells you to fight back. If you're in that situation, even if you're somebody like me who's not that big, but just to do anything to distract and then get out.
And to take the chance to run, because running targets aren't so good. There was some statistics regarding the use of past statistics where somebody has walked in, and they have more accuracy with the old procedures where people just kind of lock down. They have more accuracy when they walk in and start taking people out than a sheriff's deputy does when he comes in.
Right.
That was kind of unsettling for me as well.
The sheriff's deputy's got certain rules and regulations that this other person
and
doesn't have.
And frequently, if they're coming in, they've got somebody that could potentially be shooting back at them, and so they're trying to stay alive as well as shoot back. So that was the point in Fight Back. So it was. I thought it was good, and we're going to continue with that. I've talked with Fred, too, though. I want to do some training on our front services staff at the front desk on de-escalating situations, because we really do need to be able to calm down behavior as well when we've got somebody who is escalating. And we just had that happen probably about 3 weeks before this training. We had a man out here whose behavior was getting more and more agitated, and he was getting louder and louder, and he was with a woman. And I finally did, and Heather, it was at social services, and Heather did an excellent job of trying to de-escalate him. And he finally got mad and walked out. But when he walked out, then I sat and watched him because he was out pacing in the parking lot. So then I kept an eye on him. And that's when it came up, the sheriff's department had said, you know, give us a call, we'll come out. You know, if you've got somebody out there that you think you have to keep an eye on, then give us a call.
Yeah, but that's the time when you need to be able to lock that door when he starts coming
back. And that was the problem, and we can't, and we don't have the capability with that door right now to do that.
The sheriff's department gets from that end of town down here,
just
a reaction.
And that was
a whole lot of things going to happen.
And that was our problem. We can't lock that door. It, you know, it doesn't have the capability
to
do that.
You need to have some kind of that.
And we've had it happen before. I was here after hours one day and had a situation with a family outside literally going at it. And I was on the phone literally to call the police department. And when somebody came and picked him up and took off. But, yeah, so we do have situations out here.
You know, something like Orchard Manor, but, yeah. They got to recognize you through the little camera and buzz you in, or you don't get in.
Yeah.
You don't get out either.
Yeah.
I think, you know, as long as we keep more communication within the building, oftentimes I'm the only one in here after hours. I will stay sometimes, you know, till 5:30 or 6 some nights, and then sometimes I have no idea who's left in this building upstairs. I have no way of knowing that. And we've had consumers come down and go the wrong way because they missed the exit. They come down off the elevator, and I don't even know they're in the building.
You know, bathrooms, whether bathrooms can be checked before anybody leaves.
Yeah.
They can still be in the building.
This is a big building. There's a lot of, in every little office, half of them have little, you know, adjoining places between them because it's an old county home, so we have little bathrooms in between, like Ruth in my office has a little room in between it, so yeah. There's lots of hiding places here. But, you know, the other thing is with the internet, if somebody wants to get you, they'll get you too, because they can Google your home address and find out where you live, so I don't want to get too crazy about it, but I do want to address staff concerns and make staff at least feel like, you know, they at least are empowered to take action if needed. So.
Well, you need to do something similar to what the schools have done.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite to that extent.
Yeah, I would like the opportunity to lock that front door if we need to.
Yes.
If we've got somebody whose behavior is escalated, I would like to be able to go out there and make sure that door is locked so they don't come back in. And right now, if we did that, I think they can still hit the handicap button and the door will open up again. So it really doesn't help us at this point. But we have talked about it.
You would have to put a disable or be able to disable that part of it when you locked it.
Your program reports, right now the ship system is down, so Marcia doesn't have hers in there. We'll probably should have that back within another month or two. And I'm still working on transportation reports. I do have some done through March that I had to do for the state, but I didn't have them through April, so those didn't get on there. But, again, I will have those on there next month once we get that reporting system set up. Okay. A little better.
Is that it?
That is it.
Anything else to come before
oh,
us?
Oh,
boy, we're going to be out of here.
I tell you, we did pretty good considering that agenda.
Well, just before we adjourn, though, do we want to meet next month at one of the other meal sites?
Can I look and see what my
June 17th, I think I just looked at.
I don't know what we...
What else would be on the agenda?
Agenda-wise, we would be okay. So that's up to you guys if you would like to.
In this case, we met here and went to Lancaster, but which other place would you suggest that perhaps we could visit?
Plapo gets a little crowded sometimes, but we've got Fenimore that would be close by. We've got Cassville. It depends on where you want to go.
The
17th. Can we hold the meeting there?
I would have to check. And actually, Cassville is maybe not a Wednesday.
Yeah.
That might be vaguely.
I'm not sure. I can't keep it straight.
What does anybody... Does anybody have any...
Want to travel?
Yeah.
I guess I don't know what works for people here. So.
Where, Fenimore's is where now? Is that...
It's behind Goods... Samaritan.
Oh, it's still there.
In those apartments.
Weren't we going to have to move that?
We moved the storage out of there.
Oh, we moved the storage out of there.
Mm-hmm. The storage is here now.
That's right. We moved the storage out of there.
The facility is still there.
Can we just say we're going to have the meeting on the 17th? Can you look and see
sure.
if there's a room that
yeah.
we could maybe meet before so we don't have to
sure.
meet and then drive? But we'd be right.
I'll look at a couple places.
Does anybody have any reason why not to?
No, I think it's a good idea.
Okay. Check out meal site.
So we're going to empower you to find us a spot.
Give us a time.
And give us a time and
okay.
and so forth. Yeah, whether we finish in time to be at
what we would probably want to do is maybe do it a little bit later so that we end up...
Where does Fenimore get their meals from?
Grant Regional.
Oh, still from Grant Regional. Okay. All right. Anything else to come before us?
Yeah, I got a question.
Yes.
I see Larry was on the Regional Board of Aging.
That's next
yes.
Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Shirley and I are going. Would you like to ride with us?
Where is that meeting?
Darlington.
It's at the...
Okay.
It's at the Darlington Human Services Building,
okay.
which is right on the main drag of Darlington.
I mean,
don't
you
know
can drive
you know.
Separate or you can ride.
You may as well just ride along then.
That meeting starts at
9:30, but what
yeah.
Shirley and I kind of meet in Dick's Pig's parking lot
okay.
at about 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And that way we take off. I did take off one day without her. She
yeah.
wasn't there.
She doesn't wait.
I mean, does Larry usually go on these?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of times he would drive separate because he might have had another meeting afterwards
yeah.
or something.
What time was it?
It starts at 9:30.
So what
time do
you
do it? 8 o'clock.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, it gives us plenty of time to get over there. Because we used to meet the...
Well, I came to your place a few times.
No, but the gentleman in Platteville, we used to meet him.
Oh, yeah, Dick's parking lot.
Oh, Dale.
With Dale, yeah, we used to meet Dale over there and go.
Pig parking lot.
The pig parking lot. Probably over by the St. Clemens along that line right there. We kind of park in there. And
facing the school.
One of the proposals, Mike, in the governor's budget was to eliminate the regional boards. And so we don't know how that will flesh out with DHS looking at it too. So it's possible it could be a short term thing. But at this point, yeah, the regional boards are still operating, but we don't know moving forward.
Well, you know, the comment was made even if it did go away, it would take some time to dissolve.
Absolutely.
It. But knowing the way things are working right now with the state, it might not take long to dissolve it. Anything else come before us?
Yeah.
Hearing none, do I entertain a motion to adjourn?
Yes. I'll make a motion
to adjourn. Janet, Mike, and we're out of here.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Thank
everybody.
You.
Well, Mike, what do you think?
It was probably one of our longest agendas ever. So.
You know, is that, can we get him the list of acronyms so he knows what
yeah,
they're for?
I don't think I've ever given them to Lester.
Nope.
Oh, well, then we need...